Look at my smile.
When we came here 3 years ago, we found it a different world entirely. It was a great challenge to us all, and perhaps a greater challenge to Alma, my wife, for a mother carries burdens in a way that only mothers can do. From the outset, however, we determined to make the best of it, and the best way to do that was quite simply to accept in our hearts that this was our new home and take it from there. Since we had four children also to consider, we knew it was important to succeed, and we therefore did our best to make it not only endurable, but enjoyable for them. Out in the bush, self-sufficiency and improvisation really come into their own. This addition of livestock serves a dual purpose: our table, plus milk for those orphans whose medical condition requires a milk diet. Most of this milk goes to our needy orphans, and so our cow in this way becomes the UK equivalent to the corner shop, and very useful it is too. Here we have little need for the ornamental, and luxury goods are not required. Indeed, out here, the term family needs takes on an entirely new meaning. Needless to say, with lots of eggs, we always have plenty of new chicks, and so the cycle is self-promoting and continues under its own impetus. In general, our lifestyle is plain and simple, and in the main, our daily schedule is much the same as back home: breakfast, school for the children, and bedtime. It's the in-between parts that make our stay here so interesting and stimulating, and enables us to enjoy our time among the Wakamba people for whom we have come to serve. Each working day begins with the staff and workers. Every morning, without fail, we meet together at 8 a.m. sharp for what we simply call devotions. This has been the hallmark of every day's work since FAME began here 15 years ago. It consists of all the staff and personnel meeting each morning for a Bible reading and a word of personal encouragement. There's no set time for this meeting, except that it commences at 8, but may continue for anything between 30 minutes and 1 hour. I hold this daily meeting to be foundational to our work here, a source of valuable instruction for ourselves and staff alike. This meeting binds us together and encourages trust and fellowship with one another. Devotions over, we each go our separate ways to do or oversee our separate responsibilities within the compound. With each area of the work set up for the day and supervised by our manager and trained staff, I am therefore free to move in and out as circumstances demand, knowing that the work in all its parts will continue throughout the day, or indeed days as the case may be. We have, of course, our ongoing clinic work, 5 days per week, 24-hour call. Here, no one is ever turned away, and treatment is free to those who cannot pay. It must be said that we have noticed an ongoing improvement in the health of the community in general, and late-night call-outs are now a very odd occurrence, which is a big plus to me personally. Without this vital service, things will be a lot different here. It is only by being here and seeing daily the great need for medical and lab services that we can appreciate the value it must be to this community. Okay. For those whose educational abilities are not up to secondary school level, we have vocational training. In these classes, these young people show that they have ingenuity and skills that many with university potential do not have. And our classes give them the opportunity to realise those skills to the best advantage. Power to the needle is by treadle and wheel, and it could hardly be more basic than this, but it gets the job done and keeps our children well clothed and smart looking. By this simple and basic trade craft, a young mother can provide those few extra shillings that are so vital to a family needs in an economy where 80% of the people are living on the equivalent of £1 per day. For young men, we have carpentry, always a skill that can be utilised in the most unexpected place and bring in work from the most unexpected quarter. Again, the tools are simple and basic, but they are what is available to them, and that's what matters here in the bush. Taught by our resident carpenter, these young men soon become adept at their trade, and one is only to examine the finished article to appreciate the skills involved using these most basic hand tools. Without our assistance and guidance, these young men would never have the opportunity to become useful and productive within their community. Apart from overseeing the compound work in all its parts, my own work entails evangelism in schools, churches, and community outreach. This in itself keeps me busy and involves much travelling. It is my utmost joy to be able to reach so many with the message of Christ, and I count the travel and distance as nothing in comparison. While driving, I have plenty of time to think on our life here, and I often think of these opportunities I have. Many mission fields are challenged to find opportunities to preach the word, but here I am challenged to fulfill all my engagements. Here we are sowing the good seed in over 200 young hearts. But biblical evangelism is not a matter of adding mere numbers to a church or denomination, or not something that can bring genuine results by force or coercion. But by faithfully sowing the gospel seed month by month, year by year, we hope for a spiritual harvest, a lasting legacy in the kingdom of God.
This is some of the words that the angels spoke on that night when Jesus came into this world. The angels came and spoke to the shepherds and said these words.
I'm thankful to the Lord that already there are men and women, boys and girls who evidence a change in their lives and profess faith in Christ for salvation. It is my prayer that I will be given health and strength to continue, for this area at present is a wide open door for gospel opportunities. The one single area of FAME work that has become more and more pressing and important is of course our child rescue program. This has brought much blessing and satisfaction to us personally, as well as being favourably recognised by the Kenyan government agencies that specialise in it and oversee it. Although from the very outset, FAME always considered the poor and destitute, in 2006 that consideration took on a more tangible form when a new child rescue centre was opened. Like so much of the Lord's work, this had small beginnings. This footage shows the first family being rescued, and these are the conditions from which they were rescued. Both parents were dead, and these three girls were left to fend for themselves. It is a picture of utter desolation and total abandonment. Nothing we could imagine in our culture could compare to this. Preparing very basic food, a gruel made from millet, and using the most primitive means, it was a survival-only existence. Hunger, privation, grief and trauma characterized each one of these girls and had left their marks upon them. They were indeed in a pitiable state and were glad to come with Alan and Irene and begin a new life within FAME Centre.
You know, I wasn't always a Christian. I wasn't always born again.
From the very commencement of child rescue work, the assistance given always included the Word of God. And today these same children, like hundreds more, have been given a great opportunity. Mary, the eldest of that first family, has almost finished secondary school and is happy and grateful for all that has been done for them. She has now grown into young womanhood and is articulate in three languages, including English. Her sisters and little brother are likewise very happy and settled here, and what they have now is a world away from the tragedy of 7 years ago. This is what FAME work is all about, transforming young lives, bringing gladness and hope, and, by the gospel's power and influence, giving beauty for ashes. Today, Alma and I carry on this same work, which has now grown to 175 children in the centre, with 19 being helped in a follow-up capacity within the community. For the purposes of this year's report, we decided to film an actual child rescue in progress, taking into account road conditions, distance, and, of course, the homestead itself. On this particular rescue, we're following our child administrator, who has already been there and has informed us that we can drive to within half a mile of the home. However, knowing full well that half a mile here can become greatly extended, we go prepared to be surprised, but hoping that we won't be. We have now travelled about 15 miles from the tarmac to an area quite remote. Here we begin to see the true wilderness of the Kenyan interior, and it must be very much like what it was before the coming of the white man and the civilization they brought. The Kenyan bush is beautiful at this time of the year. The fresh greenery and the bright sunshine are a pleasure to behold. But we know that within this beauty lies much poverty and suffering, human suffering. Suffering, hunger, sickness and death abound within this wilderness expanse. And it is only by being here that we can see it day after day. As we approach our goal, we slow to a crawl and, unwilling to abandon the vehicle and foot it in the heat, we press on slowly through what seemed to be a penetrable path. And, to our great satisfaction and relief, we found ourselves right at the spot. On arrival, the place was deserted, and we were immediately struck by the emptiness of the compound. Apart from the three buildings, there was nothing else. The family were all in an adjoining field, keeping the birds from eating a crop of millet. But when they heard us whistle, they soon appeared. This example may illustrate child rescue at the cutting edge of our intervention. The father of these children was a local witch doctor who had taken on a younger woman to bear him children, his first wife being unable to conceive. The younger wife died, and he also died, leaving their five offspring in the care of the now aged first wife. As the pastor talked to the old lady about the events that had led to her present circumstances, her eyes welled up with tears. She had lost all. Now she must give up her grandchildren too, the last living link to all that she had or ever known in this life. Always on these occasions, we try to prepare the child for the transition from the family home to our centre. We know it is a big step for them, so we personally speak to them and seek to involve them in the move. We think it important that the child is not coerced or made to feel threatened, and we assure them that their relative will come regularly to visit them. This maintained connection to family is important for the child's immediate peace of mind, as well as keeping open their options for the future as far as any inheritance of land or homestead is concerned. On arrival at the centre, the office is the first stop. Here, a file is open for each child and a full history taken. As soon as possible, the child is then given a medical by our charge nurse, and a laboratory test is taken to check on their HIV status, if any. If found to be HIV positive, They must join our group who require special care and who are taken weekly to the general hospital for antivirals and close monitoring. At present, we have 7 children who are HIV positive. It must be said that generally HIV cases do very well with the level of care we give them and are enabled to live normal, healthy lives as a consequence. One of the first items on our agenda for the new child is to measure them up for clothes and uniform. We find it much better to manufacture our own children's clothes here in the centre. We have several reasons for this. Not only do we have the benefit of individual fitting, but it's not easy to clothe the children uniformly by shop purchasing. The garment will always be well produced and, last but not least, it is cheaper to buy the bolt of cloth and make our own. Monica and Agnes, our 2 matrons, seen here, are also trained seamstresses and they teach in the sewing classes. It is they who keep our boys and girls clothed and smartly dressed. And when they need a little help, the most able in the second year classes provide those extra hands. It is a daunting task to clothe 175 children of all ages, and the sewing class have become a necessary workforce, repaying our training in a very practical and timely fashion.
Yeah, fix it up.
Centre life includes child participation, the work ethos. It cannot be all play, however much we would like it to be. Work experience is a must for their own future well-being and usefulness. They must be self-sufficient, able to fend for themselves in a very competitive and unforgiving environment. Here, they also do the mundane chores that are part and parcel of daily living, whenever and wherever that eventually becomes their own responsibility. If they cannot already do so when they arrive, they soon master these duties with zeal and dexterity. Like so many other things in the African context, these and other duties soon become an opportunity for social interaction, and the children get involved immediately, enjoying the time spent together, even though it is in a work situation. Agriculture is a way of life here, the only means of subsistence. Therefore, children are taught to till the land and plant and attend to crops. Their life here is not allowed to become disconnected from the reality of their home environment or future responsibilities, and this balanced approach is carefully maintained. Those who are old enough do their own washing, and a very good job they do of it too. The children find this no hardship and take pride in doing the job well, and in no time at all have it finished. It's surprising just how useful these children soon become, and we know that for them to learn now will save them a great disappointment later, when they come to an age of leaving the centre and must return to the bush to make their way in life for themselves. It must be said to their credit that we find these children more than willing to become involved wholeheartedly in whatever we ask them to do, and that includes the dusty task of keeping the compound clean and periodically picking up the scraps and bits and pieces that litter day by day. Each child's happiness is important to us, and a watchful eye is kept by our matrons to ensure that this is being achieved. No bullying is allowed, and no child left out of centre activities. One thing that always comes up again and again by visitors and welfare officers is how happy our children are here.
Hello, what's my name?
Happiness is not something that can be put on for a camera or manufactured on the day. Our children are happy, and we work at this to make it so. FAME Child Rescue Centre is not an institution. It is a children's home, a home for children, a home in every sense of the word, as far as is possible for us to provide. The children want for nothing that is good and wholesome for them, and it shows in their faces an outlook on life. All this, of course, is provided by the kindness and generosity of FAME supporters and child sponsors. And I hope that this report will encourage those who have been faithful in this, and perhaps encourage others to take up this needy cause of child sponsorship. On the spiritual side, our children are well taught in the scriptures.
To love the Lord our God.
With all our hearts.
With all our soul.
Joseph, our child evangelist, is kept busy with catechism, Bible verses, and Bible stories. Our spiritual instruction includes child participation, and in this way we find the children keep attention, as well as finding the services interesting and informative. All our children look forward to our church activity, and if they are chosen to participate, they do so with eagerness and great enthusiasm. What a thrill to see so many gathered for the preaching of the word, and to be enabled to provide for their every need. In closing, let me tell you the story of another rescue that took place recently. It's a sad story, but has a happy ending as far as it was possible to make it so. We are on our way to the home of a little girl called Nduku. Nduku was formerly with us in the centre and took seriously ill. After a long hospitalisation, we assisted her in a home environment situation after she was discharged. She was very glad to see us and was her usual patient, friendly self. However, as we monitored her over a period of time, we became unhappy with the situation. We were not satisfied that the child was receiving the level of care she needed for her condition. And perhaps in fairness, our expectations were more than the primitive conditions allowed. So the very day after these pictures were taken, we enrolled her in a local special needs boarding school near to us at the clinic, where we know she will receive what she requires. On the third day following, we returned for her, having already put all in place for her new move. Needless to say, our arrival and our news delighted Nduku, and we in turn were delighted for her. The smile tells the story better than words. She was overjoyed, and I suppose overwhelmed somewhat by the radical turnaround of her circumstances. We sat down with her and told her of the new developments and explained a little of what was planned for her.
We've got some good news. Nduku, we've got good news for you.
API.
Yesterday we were at a special school, and they have agreed that they can take you to be at that school. Are you happy? I can see you're happy. That's good to do. Good girl. And they'll be able to look after you. The sower of the gospel seed is promised a harvest. We are told the sower shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. This then is our hope, our goal, our endeavor. And these children constitute our harvest field. This is not only our confidence, but our privilege. The greatest privilege of all, for he that winneth souls is wise. There are none too poor or sick to be loved and cared for. And with your help, we can make a difference, a real lasting difference, a difference not only for time, but for eternity. On behalf of all our little ones, I say a sincere thank you. By your support, you're enabling us to leave the wreckage and hopelessness of child destitution behind and take such children to a better day, a brighter future. God bless you for that.